Now, with the rise and rise of Spotify and other streaming services, it's not easy these days to buy music as a Christmas gift. But if music is the obsession of the person you're buying for, then there are plenty of music autobiographies and biographies to choose from this year. Tony Clayton Lee has read his fair share of them, and he joins me in studio now to guide us through the bookshelves. Real people, you say these are
indeed,
about, Tony.
John,
and
real
I said,
people.
Are they not about musicians?
And most of them are living.
Right, most of them are living.
Which obviously helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, your first choice, an Irish choice, an autobiography in this case, Christy Dignam's My Crazy World. What else could he call his autobiography?
Yeah, it was either that or not much else. But one of the reasons why I really like this book is because it is probably the most scarifyingly honest biography of a musician that I've read in a long time.
So it's warts and all.
It's really warts and all, yeah. I mean, he goes into, in great detail, you know, the kind of history of the band, his own history, where he came from, where his grandparents came from, and in a very, very natural, chronological manner, you know, goes through the Aslan years, goes through his own troubles with drugs, how he got off drugs. And it kind of lands to the point where he is now, guy in his mid to late, guy in his late 50s, I think, where he writes, "Everything hurts."
Wow.
Everything hurts. So I don't think he means this in a purely psychological way. I mean, it's well documented that over the last 4 or 5 years, Christy has become unwell. And he's certainly, you know, grappling with his situation, with his physical situation through medication. Aslan play, they perform on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, they played on Culture Night, part of our
Absolutely,
Culture Night concert.
Yeah. So it isn't all doom and gloom, but one of the really good things about this book is how Dignam documents, as we say, the kind of warts as much as the kind of joys.
Yeah, I can't imagine him being anything but honest in a case like this, Christy Dignam. What about the you know, how the band actually came about? Does he talk about the social milieu, the context for that, how
he
Aslan
does,
actually
yeah,
formed?
He does, and he paints a picture that I personally would be kind of familiar with, because we're of a kind of similar age group, and we, although I don't know Christy very well, I would have bumped into him through the years.
Yeah.
So I was certainly around when Aslan were not around, when they were a band called Mila 18 and Christy was the lead singer, and he goes into that because into that area, this is the late 70s, early 80s, early to mid 80s, very, very well. You know, he paints this picture of a bunch of blokes from Finglas, who I think it's fair to say didn't have the Leaving Cert among them. One of them did, and that's why that particular musician became the band's accountant, because he had the Leaving Cert. The other guys didn't, and they kind of worked, they rehearsed in an old pigsty, very, very close, in an old disused pigsty.
I was going to say, there were no pigs there at the time.
Very,
presumably.
Very close to, very, very close to Dublin Airport. They would wheel their equipment in to and from their houses and their rehearsal space in a shopping trolley. You don't get much of that these days,
no.
Sean. You
no.
know, all of that's all of that's kind of gone. But Christy paints this picture of, you know, 4 to 5 guys with a burning sense of ambition, and he paints it very
well.
Articulately and very, very well.
Well, they obviously did have burning ambition, because if they didn't have burning ambition, they wouldn't have given us songs like this.
It's all right. it's all the same. I have traveled through so many towns. Don't know why, don't know where, don't care less, it's all the same. Protect you in this crazy world.
Just such a great song as we're listening there. Crazy World from Chrissy Dignam and Aslan, and the autobiography that we're speaking about this evening with Tony Clayton Lee, My Crazy World. Just one thing before we move off and on to other sections that you have, Tony. How does he handle the whole issue? You say he's very honest about his addiction to heroin.
Yeah.
What's the effect on the reader? Is it harrowing to read?
I would have thought that I'd read a fair bit about, you know, addictions of various sources.
He told you something new, did he?
Through my kind of life. But I mean, there was one chapter here called Fear and Loathing in Dublin City. And I'm telling you, Sean, it gives you the chills. The way Chrissy describes and outlines his troubles, both personally and in tandem with kind of scoring drugs from drug dealers, and they're knocking at his door, not really taking no for an answer. It's incredibly harrowing.
And
it's told so well. It's almost like a page-turner thriller, that particular chapter.
Well, I suppose he's speaking about a very specific time and a very specific heroin epidemic in Dublin. That's My Crazy World, Chrissy Dignam, first of Tony Clayton Lee's recommendations this evening, published by Simon & Schuster. Most controversial, you have this one down as Then It Fell Apart, Moby. A lot of controversy around this, a second volume of the memoirs covering the period 88 to 99. Yeah. So what did we hear before this?
Well, there was a lot of controversy after the book was published. But to get back to your question, this was the second volume of Moby's memoirs. It was the follow-up to a book called Porcelain, which was published in 2016. And Porcelain focused on Moby's life from 89 to 99. Then It Fell Apart differs significantly in that it focuses on the years from 1999 to around 2008, 2009.
And so the big success had come at this stage.
A huge success.
This album
came.
Play had.
Yeah, Play was released in 1999. So Porcelain was pre-Play.
Right.
Then It Fell Apart is post-Play. So post-Play means essentially that Moby left his above the poverty line conditions of living to the point where he was able to pay $6 million in cash for a penthouse apartment in Manhattan. So his life totally flipped and switched from a financial point of view. He remained, I think it's fair to say, a fairly sedate, inward-looking kind of musician. But what fame and money gave him was connections and to a certain lifestyle, and also an entry into a world that he had never previously had.
But he does a lot of name dropping here, doesn't he?
Well,
this is part of the controversy.
You've segued exactly into what I was getting at. So yeah, he name drops an awful lot, and he name drops people like Bowie and Christina Ricci and Ivanka Trump and Lana Del Rey in a kind of very early version of what Lana Del Rey was back then. And he also writes about his relationship to the way he sees it with the actor Natalie Portman. So that's fine. And I remember I was in the studio reviewing the book, and we mentioned all of that. And on the face of it, and it still is, it's a very interesting book. But when the book was published, Natalie Portman made it very clear to everyone that she was not happy with Moby's portrayal of her as his girlfriend.
Now, so it wasn't the way he portrayed it, it was just he called me his girlfriend, I wasn't.
Yeah,
he was saying.
Have maybe kind of mentioned tangentially certain kind of romantic associations between them. Portman disassociated herself from that completely.
But does that leave us then reading the second volume, Then It Fell Apart? Do we kind of go, well, is this the truth?
Well, yeah, we do.
That's the problem, is it?
That is one of the problems. Looking at it after the publication of it, I think it should be said that Moby publicly, you know, very grandly, after a fashion, apologised to Portman. But the damage was done, and literally weeks after the book was published, Moby, and he was supposed to come over to Dublin to partake in a kind of publicity tour, but that was knocked on the head, and he has retreated to where we do not know.
So that makes then it fell apart, controversial, and I suppose there are people reading through it saying, no, that never happened, or yes,
well,
that did
maybe
happen.
Maybe or maybe not. Maybe, yeah, maybe we'll maybe see. Maybe not. But ironically, the title was quite prophetic.
Yeah, of course. Faber and Faber, the publisher's there, so you would have thought that they'll have done all their fact-checking before publishing that particular book. Moby's second volume of his memoirs, Then It Fell Apart. Oh, yeah. Never mind. If I give you a hint as to what the most highly anticipated is by playing this.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. Don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live.
Oh, well, did he know that he was going to have lots of money and that he would buy a big house where both could live?
He certainly wanted it, that's for sure.
Yeah, Elton John we're speaking about here. Yeah. Most highly anticipated autobiography. Is it an autobiography here? It is, yeah.
It is. And it certainly was the most highly anticipated. What else could it be called?
Well,
it certainly wouldn't be called You, would it? Because it's about me, Elton John. But this book has been in the works for the last couple of years, you know. So there was a certain level of expectation initially, and then as the kind of months went by, you know, the film Rocketman came out.
Yeah, and that kind of told us things that...
That told us things that, you know, perhaps the casual Elton John fan might not have been aware of. But the interesting thing about the movie is that, as I'm sure many people have seen, is that it kind of takes liberties with the chronology and the was a bit of time shifting in that film. It's also,
so does me iron this out then? Does the autobiography
iron
it out?
Well, it does. Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, as we said, the kind of movie was it took certain liberties, and it was more kind of perhaps a musical than a kind of strictly told autobiography. This is the strictly told autobiography.
I did touch on the movie, but you know, problems he had as a young child. Are they here? And
Everything is here.
Are we in a warts and all type of world?
Well, we are, but with Elton John, warts have little gemstones in them, you know? So, yes, it is a bit warty, but it's nothing to scare the horses, let's put it that way.
Right, well, go on, what are you going to say?
Well, no, I was going to say that. I mean, you know, he tells a story so brilliantly, and it's an extremely witty book, and I doubt there is no other book out this year, or indeed next year, where there is a section whereby he outlines him dancing with Queen Elizabeth in Buckingham Palace to, I kid you not, Rock Around the Clock.
That's right, well, worth the read for that alone. So most witty as well as most highly anticipated.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Very witty. It's kind of amusing.
Okay,
yeah.
Me, the title of the Elton John autobiography published by Pan Macmillan. Now, if we are looking for, maybe not warts and all, but certainly most honest is what you have down for Face It from Debbie Harry.
Yeah, I mean, Debbie Harry would have been one of the, I think one of the most important female faces of pop music, rock music in the last 45 years. This is her first memoir, which is kind of unusual in a way. I mean, she's been around a while. I think she's in her early 70s. So one would have thought she might have got to it before then. But she wanted to kind of, with this, which is quite unorthodox, I think, in its kind of formatting. But she wanted to just, I suppose, set the record straight. And I think she does so really to a point where, you know, would-be interviewers want to kind of interview her anymore, because she everything is on the line here, and there isn't much more, I feel, that
she has to say,
any other interviewer would get from her.
But am I right in thinking of it? Maybe I've mixed this up. But is this very much a picture driven book?
It is. There's an awful lot of fan art.
Yeah, because what I remember when we were speaking about it at the time, wasn't with you, I can't remember with whom, but that there was one of the things that was said was not a lot of text here, and maybe more text would have, you would disagree.
I would disagree. I think in the sense that the balance is correct.
Mm.
I think the memoir is essentially a sequence of exclusive interviews with the UK music journalist Sylvie Simmons. And as I said, like Debbie Harry really wanted to kind of set things straight. She wanted to set out everything that she had perhaps not told interviewers before in this book, which is why I say that, you know, is there much point ever interviewing her again? Because she really does say it all here.
All right, I'll get you to do a few honourable mentions before I finish up with the one I want to play a good track of before. You can probably guess which one I've chosen for that. But let us, Brett Anderson, first of all, Afternoons with the Blinds Drawn.
Yes, I was here last year. We reviewed his
Cold Black Mornings.
It was a superb first memoir.
We spoke to him about Afternoons with the Blinds Drawn.
Afternoons with the Blinds Drawn is the sequel to that. He documents Suede's rise to fame, and then it finishes pretty much when Suede split up in 2003. It is another really beautifully written book. I mean, it's so eloquent, so articulate, and it tells a really good story.
And what I remember most about talking to him was like there was no sheen on anything here. He was just saying, no, this is what it was, this is what happened, and here's how it went.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we all know that, you know, the perception of many musicians, and it's a correct perception, is that there's a lot of ego involved. There is no ego here. I mean, he describes himself as, and I'm quoting here, a damaged, paranoid figure, wired and isolated, edgy and obsessed. And it kind of, in many ways, doesn't get any better than that.
I'll let you choose one other of your honourable mentions.
Okay, thank you. I would like to choose Cruel to Be Kind, The Life and Music of Nick Lowe. Nick Lowe was one of those mid to late 70s UK songwriters who has, you know, dipped in and out of the commercial limelight over the years. He's essentially a songwriter. He would not be, even to my mind, a pioneer in songwriting, but he is incredibly adept at dropping into different styles of music. He would, I think, in fairness, you know, refer to himself as something of a kind of human jukebox. And during the course of this really very well-written biography, it transpires that Nick Lowe actually is a distant relative of the inventor of the jukebox.
Ah, there you go.
There you go. You couldn't make it up, could you, Sean?
That's a lovely bit of synchronicity. Cruel to Be Kind, The Life and Music of Nick Lowe. Will Birch is the writer there, Constable, the publishers. And I'm saving Most Sorely Missed is the title you've given to this one, Tony. The Beautiful Ones by Prince. This published by Century. This is a really unusual publication in that it's a long project that obviously Prince never got to finish. But he did get someone else to finish it for him.
Yeah, the person who, the writer who finished this book for him was Prince's original choice of co-writer. It's a writer called Dan Peepenbring, I think his name is. He's an advisory editor for Paris Review, so his credentials are kind of really, really good. So they had been working on this book for, I think, six to nine months. Prince had written about 30 or so pages.
Handwritten. And we get a facsimile reproduction of those handwritten.
Indeed we do. And this is another book, similar perhaps to the Debbie Harry book, in that it's very pictorially led. There is an absolute reason why it's so much pictorially led, because there isn't that much text.
Yeah.
But what we do get is, and sadly perhaps, a mere glimpse into what could have been, because the 30 pages of handwritten text, they're really very, very good.
And there's a touch of it, it's almost like, and when I'm saying scrapbook here, that's not fair to it, but you get home picture, you know, pictures, the old Polaroid pictures, things like that of Prince's.
There is a scrapbook feel, similar perhaps to the Beastie Boys book of last year. You know, there is that kind of collage compendium aspect to it. But I think what kind of knits it all together is the fact that, number one, this book was meant to have been written. It wasn't, but what is now pieced together is what was written, and the original co-writer piecing together a nice little essay to the effect that this is what we've got and isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, and here was the direction we had planned to head.
Precisely.
Yeah, okay. The Beautiful Ones then by Prince, with a lot of help obviously from Dan Peepenbring, published by Century. Tony Clayton Lee giving us those book recommendations this evening, and mention of Prince gives me a chance to play Prince. Yes, boy. Thank you.
while, but he had grown accustomed to her style. She had the cutest ass he ever seen. He did too, they were meant to be. They loved to kiss on the steps of his side. It looked like rain, mama, birds do fly. I love you, baby, I love you so much. Maybe we can stay in touch. Meet me in another world, space and joy. Who's that rebel among the girls and boys? He gave her all the love that anyone can, but she was promised to another man. He tried so hard not to go insane. Birds to fly, looks like rain. I love you, baby, I love you so much. Maybe we can stay in touch. Meet me in another world, space and joy. Vous êtes très belle, mama, girls and boys. Love is so real. I can take the breakup if you say that you care. He had to run away, his pride was too strong. It started raining, baby, the birds were gone. Oh,
love you, baby, I love you so much.
Maybe,
maybe we can.
Oh yes, Girls and Boys from Prince. And we'll put all of Tony Clayton's Lee's music book choices up on our webpage. They'll be there before the end of the programme this evening. We'll also put up the honourable mentions that Tony had that we didn't get a chance to mention this evening on air. rte.ie/arena.